opening story. That song perfectly leads into what we're going to talk to, talk about today. Okay, I'll do it because it's part of my routine. But keep that song in mind as we get to our text later today. Tim, thank you for leading that before we get going. In the late 1400s, one of the most famous quarries in the world was the Carrara Marble Quarry, known for its pure white stone. The stone would be brought into Florence and into the courtyard of the cathedral for artists to work on. Donatello was initially commissioned to carve a series of statues, but after a few he carved, he died in 1466. Agostino, Donatello's protege, continued working on the project, but unexpectedly and for unknown reasons, failed to finish as well. Another artist, Rossellini, was commissioned to resume the work, but likewise failed to finish. So the stone laid in the courtyard, untouched, rejected, exposed to the elements, to the weather, for 25 years. And by that time, it was worthless. With too many imperfections, no one wanted to touch it. It wasn't worth the effort. Then in 1501, a young sculptor was given a chance to inspect it and requested the commission to use it. For nearly 4 years, he worked in secret, carving it day and night. History will tell us that Michelangelo said this about it. The sculpture is already complete within the marble block. Before I start my work, it's already there. I just have to chisel away the superfluous material. So in 1504, the stone others dismissed became a masterpiece, the David, in the hands of Michelangelo, a visionary who simply saw what no one else could. Good morning. I'm really excited to be up here with you, to study this with you this morning, to spend some time looking at these stories that we've been so blessed to have, that God has provided for us. We're going to be in Luke chapter 5, so if you want to open your Bibles and follow along, that's where we're going to really sit almost the entire time. I'm going to reference some things throughout the Gospels, but we're going to stay right in Luke, so feel free to just camp right there. You spend any time with me, you're going to learn that I love the characters of the Bible and I love the people of the Bible. So that's where I really gain my strength and really try to learn. So we're going to do that this morning as we study together. And I hope that I can show you what I think God, or I know God has shown me, and I think he's trying to show all of us as we go through. So I want to set some context for you of where we are in Luke 5, verse 27 and 28. Here we have Jesus walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he's in Capernaum, which has now become his base camp for his ministry and his operations. And you need to understand, this was the heart of daily life right here along the sea and in this town. Travel, commerce, religion, so many things were taking place here. So many people were crossing paths here that something was happening on the regular. Religious events were taking place, miracles were taking place, and especially from Jesus, we see a lot of stories and things take place here. Now, what's interesting about this specific story is we have it in all three Gospels. Mark chapter 2, here in Luke 5 like we have, and later in Matthew chapter 9. And I want to make out this point as well, because you're going to hear me do it this morning, and inevitably it's going to drive some of you probably a little crazy. Mark and Luke refer to it as the calling of Levi. Matthew is the only one who uses that name. So this morning as we study, I'm going to call him Levi. We're going to look at it as the calling of Levi. So pay attention to that, be aware of that. I don't want you to catch you off guard as we go through. All three accounts are short, very short, and we're only going to look at two verses of Luke chapter 5, like I said, 27 and 28. But I want to suggest to you that those two verses are packed with so much meaning, not necessarily just what's in the text, but what we know outside the text. And I want to present that to you this morning as we study the calling and the conversion of Levi. So if you haven't heard some of these details before, I hope it's enlightening to you. If you have some insight onto this, I'd love to talk to you afterwards and share it with you and what you have to see about it. But I want to point out three things that we see in these couple of verses that I think are significant to our understanding of what God's telling us. Number one, look at where we find him. We find Levi in his tax collector booth. All three accounts tell us he's in a tax collector booth. Now, tax collector booth is not typically something that we're familiar with. That's not something we encounter with. But there's probably a few generations in here, if I use this next one, a toll collector booth, you know what I'm talking about. There's probably a group over here that's probably never gone to a toll booth with a person in it where you had to throw coins into a basket or actually give them money. But I want you to picture it that way. There were two types of tax collectors back in that time of an era. You had your revenue collectors, which were like your real estate and your income taxes, they would come to your house and knock on your door, and that's where you would do your business with them. But then they had the toll collectors who sat in booths along the road at the entrances of the cities and at the gates. You couldn't get by without addressing them. So if you can't remember what that looked like, I thought I'd come up with a good illusion for you. And he's not even here today, I don't think, but picture Micah Mosley standing at the front door. Have you ever tried to get past him without some kind of a handshake, a hug, some kind of greeting? That's what this would have been like. You would have walked by Levi, and he would have snapped and said, nope, what do you have? What are you bringing into town? I need a part of that. And he would pursue that. So that's what the kind of situation we would see with him. But all three stories mention that he was in that toll booth. It's important to know what type of person he was in his occupation. The second thing is the simplicity of Jesus' invitation that we see here. All three accounts really emphasize that. Follow me. Some translations also add, and be my disciple, but that doesn't take away from the simplicity yet emphasis of the meaning of what Jesus says. Follow me. He looks at Levi and says, follow me. Direct, intentional, purposeful. Imagine the authority with which Jesus said that. And later on, we're going to see all of the times that people were amazed by Jesus because of what? The authority with which he spoke. So I imagine that situation when Jesus looked at Levi and said, follow me. There was no doubt in his mind he was going to go. And the last thing, of course, and that's where we'll focus a little bit more today, is on Levi's response. Again, all three writers make it unmistakably clear that when Jesus called him, he got up and followed. Now, if you spend any time in any of the Gospels and look back at all the different writers, you'll know that Luke specifically is very detail-oriented. In fact, in Luke chapter 1, he goes through and says, after researching all the facts, after talking to everybody, after doing all of this, my due diligence, basically, I have decided to write and compile an accurate account of the events from which we've heard and know to believe are true. So it's so interesting to me that Luke, in his account of Levi's calling, says he got up, left everything, and followed Jesus. So three little details: where Levi was, the simplicity of Jesus' calling, and then he left everything and followed. That's where I want to really dive into it this morning. So now let me read it to you just in case. I know you've read it through and we've heard it, but again, I want you to hear it. Luke chapter 5, 27 through 28. Later, as Jesus left town, he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus said. So Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Okay, so why? Why? That's what I want to know. When I read these stories, why? What was it? I mean, I know we could say, yeah, it was Jesus. Of course we're going to get up, we're going to go. And he said, follow me. Of course we're going to go. But what was it about Levi that made him? What was in his character? What was in his nature? What do we know about him that made it so easy for him to get up, leave everything, and go? So I want to suggest, after studying his gospel and some of the other things we know, that there are some characteristics I think we can see in Levi. And what I want today to be is a message of encouragement. I want you to think about yourself today. I want you to think about your skills, your talents, the things that God's given you that you're using day in and day out, and you're wondering, man, how could I use this more? How could I be this more? I want to suggest to you that God is using those and giving you opportunities to use those, and he's going to find you where you are, just like he found Levi. And so I want to suggest a couple of characteristics I see in Levi that we can draw encouragement from, because it was not an impulsive decision. This was a sincere, intentional, calculated move, step out of the booth toward a life of salvation in Christ. He knew what he was doing. Okay, first, I want to suggest to you, Levi was available. He was available. A couple of things about that. We know tax collectors were despised by everybody. We hear that over and over in the different texts and things like that. But he wasn't hiding. He was doing his job. There was an expectation. He was accountable to people. He was accountable to his bosses. He had to be available. But I want to suggest also to you that he was visible. And I don't mean visible just like you walk by and you can see him, but that you would know he was there and he was involved with people. You got to think again, back in our setting, there's a lot of things moving and a lot of things going. So preachers, religious leaders, people were coming by sharing messages, probably criticizing him to some degree, probably saying, hey, you need to turn your life around. Hey, how are you living in a way that's taking away from your heritage? He is getting those messages. He was out there. He was visible. But in that, he was available. And I want to suggest to you maybe that availability reflected maybe a deeper awareness inside of him that something was missing. Maybe he was empty. Maybe he was seeking, which kind of makes Matthew 7:7 maybe a little bit more meaningful as he writes it and hears Jesus say it. Maybe he was looking for someone to come along the way and say, this is what you need to do. Luke will later tell us in chapter 18 the story of the rich young ruler, which he does the same thing. He comes to Jesus and says, hey, what do I have to do? I've done this and this and this and this. And Jesus says, you just have to do this one thing. And essentially, he says, follow me. And we all know what happened to the rich young ruler. He didn't, but Levi did. So he was available. So maybe he was looking for something, and Jesus saw him where he was and provided that for him. Next, I want to suggest to you that Levi was faithful. We know that as a tax collector, his occupation would tell us that he would have to have been diligent, keep meticulous records, be disciplined, be consistent, be very careful. He had to be trustworthy to his supervisors. And if he is of Jewish heritage, like we believe, he would have understood the scripture and would have known and would have made some sense of what was taking place. And as he was watching things go by, he would have seen those and been able to stay true and not follow the wrong people, but follow what was right. And all along the way, the wrong people were walking by until this one showed up. We see also in Luke 17, when he talks about Zacchaeus, remember what happened when Jesus took Zacchaeus back to his home? Zacchaeus told Jesus, I'll give back fourfold if I've wronged any of my brothers. We don't see that from Matthew. So maybe that suggests to me, at least, that maybe Matthew wasn't as bad of a tax collector as some of the others. Maybe he didn't take as much for himself as he could have, as other tax collectors would have, which shows me a little bit of, I think, insight into his character, that maybe he was still trying to do what was right, faithful to his purpose, to his heritage, and to his calling. I want to suggest to you that Matthew was teachable. How many times do we hear about Matthew handling money, or Levi, Matthew handling money throughout the Gospels after his tax collector introduction? I do love discussion, but I can't do this. This is a formal sermon. But I would hear some of you go, none. We get introduced to Levi as a math person, a money person. After that, we get none. I want to suggest to you that he's teachable, that Jesus took him, and while his talents were in the financial realm, Jesus doesn't use him for that. He uses him to do something else. He uses him to write, to provide a deep understanding of scripture. But what's interesting is in his gospel, we have so many financial references and lessons and pieces of wisdom. So we go from how do we gather money to how do we manage money. And Jesus takes him from one aspect of his career to another. He was teachable. There's no question, Levi was eager. After his calling, Luke tells us, well, they all tell us, he threw a banquet and invited people. He didn't hide in his discipleship. He didn't run away. He didn't keep it to himself. He didn't go and try to reflect and take some time to try to really understand what was going on. No, he gathered people together. He gathered other sinners, other tax collectors, anybody to come in immediately. Just like he got up out of the booth, he brought people in and said, hey, come on, you got to see what I'm seeing. He shared it. He was eager. He was ready. Just like his teacher, he looked at those people around him and saw compassion. Just like his gospel is going to record in chapter 9. When Jesus looks out on the people with compassion, he looks at them as sheep without a shepherd. Matthew, or Levi, did the same thing. And then, of course, there's no question. In that eagerness, he was ready. He was ready. He didn't hesitate. He got up, followed without delay. All three Gospels mention he followed him immediately. We know how people were amazed. We can assume that Levi was just as amazed and really, truly understood that. There are 7 times in his gospel that he uses the reference, the people were amazed. How much more impactful is it knowing that Levi would have had that feeling and could relate. As he saw the people listening to Jesus, and go, I see that look on your face. I had that same look. So he writes it down. You're amazed? Yeah, I was amazed. It's amazing. We just finished a study being amazed at Jesus. We've all seen it if we've been in those homegrown studies. I want to suggest to you that Levi was ready because of that. So, he was available, he was faithful, he was teachable, he was eager, and he was ready. I suggest to you those five characteristics. Okay, my good note takers, look at that. There's an acronym that comes from that. Anybody got it? The acronym? After. Right, we ask the question, why? Why did Levi go so quickly? Because I want to suggest he wasn't afraid of what would come after. He wasn't afraid of what would come after. And I think I asked the middle school class that this morning as we were talking about what we're studying. I said, we're often afraid of worrying about what comes after. I told him I was going to use the example of jumping out of an airplane. I will never jump out of an airplane because I'm terrified of what might come after. I know people that have skydived. The parachutes have opened. They've been able to tell me the story. But I'm just worried that that moment might not be for me. And I'm afraid of that might come after. Levi wasn't afraid of what would come after in this situation. But I think that kind of analyzation paralyzes us when it comes to these decisions. And when Jesus or God puts something in front of us and Jesus gives us a message and we're compelled to do something, we feel that movement inside of our hearts. We get that phone call or that text message or we hear that need. And that gut instinct goes, I can help. But then what do we worry about? All the things that come after, especially once we're committed to doing that. We're worried about the time component, the emotion component, the financial component. Levi didn't worry about any of that stuff. It didn't stop him. He wasn't worried about what would come after. And here, so I want to give you some things of what did come after. I mean, we can look at the story and we can see he went and held a banquet or a feast for some other tax collectors. But I want to suggest to you, there's so much more. As we start to wrap this up, we're almost finished. I want to suggest to you, I want you to see all the things that came after. All the things that came after Levi getting up and following Jesus and becoming not a tax collector, but becoming a disciple, becoming an apostle. Becoming a writer, and becoming Matthew. Okay, so now I'm going to call him Matthew. I know I've blurred it. I tried really hard to say Levi the whole time. I know I threw some Matthews in there. Now I'll call him Matthew, so hopefully that makes you a little bit more comfortable. Like, finally, we'll call him Matthew. Let's look at what his gospel. We have a gospel from him. Let's look at all the things that came after that. Let's look at all the things that Jesus did with Matthew that we are sitting here looking at today. Well, first we get the name change. And it wasn't out of character for Jesus to change names. We obviously know Simon became Peter. James and John, he gave them another name, Sons of Thunder. Saul became Paul. I think a lot of times we don't look at the fact that we get two stories of this with Levi and one story of Matthew. And Mark and Luke would have written this thinking, well, I knew him as Levi. And it was Levi that was called. It wasn't Matthew that was called. It was Levi that was called. But then as Matthew's writing it in around 50 or 60 AD, whenever it was written, he's going, yeah, but I'm Matthew now. So I'm going to write it. I'm going to write my story that I put it in there. So number one, we get a name change. We also get the career change. Like I told you, that he was no more, was he a money man? He was a preacher, a traveler, a writer. This gospel, this lasting legacy of faith he gave us. We've got a genealogy of Jesus. A comprehensive genealogy of Jesus that includes outcasts and includes women who were used for God's purpose that Matthew included purposefully for us today as he's writing it. We have a clear presentation of the kingdom. Matthew's gospel goes on and on about the kingdom of God and recognizing the kingdom of God and how do we know we're in the kingdom of God and what the purpose is. We get that. We get the five sermons from Jesus that Matthew writes down for us. Specifically, the Great Sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, where we get the blessings and we get all of these messages. And again, when you look at him as Levi, who may be seeking, and you look at him as Levi, who may have been amazed and so amazed that he stepped out of the booth, you think about Matthew 7:7, where it says, ask, seek, knock. He was seeking. You look about Matthew 9, when he writes, Jesus looked at the people with compassion. He's like, I feel that. I was that person that Jesus looked at with compassion when he is writing about the people being amazed. We get all these connections in there. We have countless miracles in Matthew's gospel, parables, some that we only find in his gospel. We have the recurring phrase, This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. We have over 60 direct Old Testament fulfillment references in Matthew's gospel that we got from him, from somebody that was willing to step out of a booth. And who did Matthew write to? The Jews. The same people who despised him, who rejected him, who separated themselves from him. But that didn't stop him. Because just like his teacher, he looked at him with compassion and saw the need. And I want to go a step further. Think about what existed after that day in front of the town, along the path. An empty tool booth. If people would have been passing by daily, they would have seen him and interacted with him and dreaded that encounter. Like I said, Micah's not here today. I noticed. He's not here. You notice when that's not there. There was an empty toll booth because Levi, who became Matthew, was willing to step out, leave everything, and follow Jesus. And I think if you were to go find him, what did that do for the ministry? What did that do for people who got used to seeing him every day? Did they go find him? Say, hey, where you been? What happened? Oh, let me tell you. Let me tell you. The teacher finally came through. That's the one we're going to follow. And I'm done. I'm no more a tax collector. Now I'm going to do this. Did that build the kingdom? Did that push some people away? Go, him? Then I'm not following that. You want a tax collector? I'm not going to go be a part of that. Who knows what happened after that, but what we do know is there was a toll booth there that had nobody sitting in the seat and nobody collecting those taxes because there was one more child in the kingdom. And I think if you went and asked Matthew, he would say, I gave up all the world had to offer to follow the one who could give me everything I need. How could I not follow him? How could I not write a gospel? How could I not record all of the wonderful things that we get? So Levi wasn't afraid of what would come after. Probably didn't even think about it. He knew he had found the one he wanted. He knew he had found the one he needed and took the step to become who Jesus wanted him to be, who Jesus saw him and who he could be. Jesus knew what would happen. When he said to Levi, follow me, he knew what he would become. Just like Michelangelo said about that stone, I'm sure Jesus said, I can see the heart within the man and I know before I start my work what he can become. I just need to get rid of all the superfluous material. Matthew was there underneath the hate, the fear, being despised, the pressure. He was there ready to be called. So I would suggest to you today that follow me that Jesus said to Levi is the same follow me he's saying to you today. You are somewhere along your path. Living, working, encountering people, and God is putting things in front of you, and the message of Jesus is in front of you, and he is saying every day, follow me. What is it that you're afraid of? What is it that's keeping you from taking the step out of the toll booth? What is it that you're worried about that might come after? Is it a relationship? Is it a money? Is it an emotional factor? It didn't matter to Levi. It should matter to us. I love Matthew's story. Matthew's my favorite gospel. I think I've said that before. I think I just heard a collective eye roll from my homegrown group. I mentioned that a lot. But I just love, there's so many things inside of it. You see so much about him and his character, and you understand really why he did what he did. But I think I like the gospel of Matthew the most is because I need that message the most. I need to know how to do the things that Matthew wrote down, that he took from Jesus and put into writing. But how many people has Jesus said, follow me to, and they didn't follow? We've got this story, and this is great, but we do hear the rich young ruler, who Jesus basically said, follow me to, and he didn't follow. Do you think if Levi had another chance, if Levi would have not followed, do you think he would have gotten another chance? So I was reading, getting ready for this, listening to some podcasts and some studying some things. I heard this line and I thought this would be the line that I would leave. And Tim, after this, I'll give you the signal that we'll stand and sing. But this was a line I took from that. If Levi didn't get up, leave everything and follow him in that moment, would he have had another chance? Maybe not. And this line, if you don't follow Jesus when he calls you, you may not follow him at all. If Jesus is standing before you today saying, follow me, looking at you with intent and purpose and seeing what you can be, even though you might not understand it or might not be able to see it, but the message of Jesus is before you today saying, follow me, why not answer, step out of the booth as we stand and sing.